I am just the worst because of this.
So at that point, I was rock bottom.
It's impossible. There's no way.
Because for a long time, I was always blaming myself. Like, this is all my fault. I started this.
And just had
this.
The mindset of, like, I'm never going to overcome this, you know? Like, I was giving in and letting Satan beat me into the ground.
The terrible kid who has to go to work. Like, I failed. Like, I got to the point.
I ended up losing a really horrible battle.
It's really in that moment that you're at that rock bottom stage that you have a fork in the road and you are forced to choose.
And I chose to fight, and I choose to fight today, and I'll choose to fight tomorrow because winning is worth it.
I just feel like the man right now.
Born fighting for my life, man, and now I fight to live. I don't just fight to live, dude, I fight to live the best life I can.
You're going to recover from this.
And if I can do this, you can do it.
It's like the start of a race, and that adrenaline's pumping, and you're like, let's go. Let's get going, because today, I change. And nothing, not even the armies of hell themselves, will stop me.
I am a warrior.
I'm a provider, presider, protector.
Satan is our enemy.
You're not alone?
Whatever
it
takes.
I fight with fury.
Let's go.
We will win this war. Don't mess with us.
You know what I say? I say, Wes, that we drop a track. Drop a track?
Couldn't agree more. No, yeah.
Is that what the kids
I think
say?
That's what I've heard in the studios. Dropping a track, laying a track.
Laying a track.
Setting some track. We should talk to a trained person who really knows.
Yeah. Hammering in the nails to the track. Is that?
Promontory point. Love it. Anyways.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Eternal Warrior Podcast, helping young people in their quest for self-mastery, sharing stories from the battlefront in the war against Satan and pornography.
That nasty Satan. I was about to say it in Spanish. Satan.
Yep. like the fabric, Satan?
Yeah, Satan. I just...
You know what?
He's a nasty dude, you know what I'm saying?
For as nasty and bad as he is...
Yeah.
We've had some warriors on here, and I can't wait to get to our guests today, who are way more bad than he can ever be.
Ooh, I like the way you said that. Like, bad to the bone.
That's
not
what
like,
I'm saying.
Not like bad as in...
Not
like
wicked or evil,
correct.
But just...
Just... Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Just bad.
Bad.
To the bone.
Just a... In the words of Stephen A. Smith.
Some
bad men. And women. We've had some great, great people
on
here.
That's true. That's a fantastic point. Let's talk about the most recent one, shall we?
Mm.
What were
you
your thoughts?
You mean that bad Mama Jamma Tyler?
Oh my gosh. Would you just tell me what your thoughts were? Because...
Oh, man.
Whew.
Tyler to me just personifies what a priesthood patriarch is.
Ooh.
Don't you think?
Yes. He had this very... you can see presider, provider, protector mm-hmm. in the way he talked about his family, the way he talked about the subject of pornography and his struggle with it. I like that.
I love how he understood the gravity of the situation that he was dealing with, but he didn't let that crush him.
Correct.
You know, he just just power cleans it and just tosses it over his head.
Mm-hmm.
And full suplex, is that the
it is a power clean.
Yeah,
a power clean or a
we're not athletic.
Power clean is the one where you get it to here, but then there's the next one. That's not a power
next
clean
level.
That's like
for those of you that can't see what's happening, which is all of you.
Yes,
Spence is doing, he's just got it to the chin. Okay, and
now
gonna
press
it above
the head.
There it is. Yeah, so that's
just do a little
that's
celebratory
Tyler's breath. Understanding of the situation, taking ownership of it.
Oh, ownership. I thought that he... Oh, man. What a cool... I was telling Tyler and Wes this after we recorded. But a lot of the time we know that lying is kind of all part of our own stories in one way or another, that we've, at one point or another, lied to ourselves, lied to other people. But the way that Tyler just said, yeah, I lied about it. Just being like straight up, this is something that I lied about it. That's hard to admit.
Yeah.
That's hard to just be like, yeah, this is something that I've lied about. And but now I'm doing what I can to resolve and make better.
Yeah.
He was awesome, dude.
Yeah, he was absolutely awesome. And some of the tactical skills that he laid out for us are understanding our brain chemistry better.
Yeah, chemical scale.
How do you gain hypersensitivity, hyper awareness of your brain chemistry and react accordingly with healthier alternatives to the addiction?
Yeah, because otherwise we're living a kind of a numb, the way he described it, right, with country music, that in a time that he doesn't even recognize it, he's at a level 5 without even knowing it.
Yep.
No conscious choice was made. It was just there.
And I think a lot of people choose to live, consciously or otherwise, choose to live their lives at a level beyond, like, not at zero.
Right.
And all of a sudden, their life is running them. I think we see that. You know, it's
yep.
The older you get, I think the more you see it. And I love what, in spirit of President's Day,
ooh,
I love what President Theodore Roosevelt said about this. And I've waxed poetic about Teddy R many times on the podcast. But one thing that he says, and
Teddy R, is that his
rap handle?
Or is that, yeah, that's his, like, Twitter
handle.
That's
his Venmo handle.
Yeah.
Okay. What Theodore Roosevelt says about that, and this is taken out of context from a greater talk called The Man in the Arena, but he says, far better it is to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered with failure, than to rank with those poor, timid souls who choose to live in the gray twilight that knows neither victory nor defeat.
Oh, man.
He's the best. Coolest president we've ever had.
And the best president on Twitter. I mean, his Twitter...
He's blown up.
The way, yeah.
He's doing great. Anyway, so those are some huge things to get out of Tyler's episode. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that yet, please, agreed, please, please do it.
Yep. Really quick, housekeeping. Can we housekeep?
Yes, keep the house, by all means.
We have had so many great emails recently. Mm-hmm. I just want to quickly maybe give you all a time... Well, should we do a time for email and or review?
Yes. Right now would be opportune to do that. So in order for this podcast to really grow and get into more people's lives, first of all, we need you guys to talk about it. And you've been doing a great job, and we've grown organically pretty well.
Yep.
But share what you've learned with people. This is not just about addiction recovery, especially from pornography and masturbation. It's about recovery from the natural man.
Yep.
And everybody can use some of that. And your stories are what tell it and make it real.
Yep, so that's why we're going to give you time right now. We're going to stop the podcast to allow you to do a review and just quickly push the 5-star. It's just the greatest one.
Press pause right now.
Ooh.
Thank you so much for leaving that 5-star review and also for emailing us at podcast@lifechangingservices.org. Speaking of life-changing services, here's a message from our sponsor, Cody Haas.
So happy you're listening to the Eternal Warrior Podcast. There's not a week that goes by where a warrior hasn't shared how the Eternal Warrior Podcast has helped them win a battle. My name is Cody Haas, and I'm a licensed therapist who helps those dealing with sexual addiction, betrayal trauma, trauma in general, marital recovery, and mental illness. Over the years, I've gathered resources to help those who desperately want to get to a better place. If you feel you're in need, please reach out to me by calling 385-519-6089 to set up an initial assessment. Once again, 385-519-6089. God bless you on your journey, my friend, and keep listening to Wes and Spenny. And remember, if you're doing things like listening to the Eternal Warrior Podcast, you're increasing your power and resilience. Remember the power you feel while you listen to Wes and Spenny, and replicate it daily by going and doing the things they share. You got this.
And we're back.
Thanks, Cody. Always good to hear from you. And guys, seriously, Cody has helped hundreds of people start to take the first steps in recovery and give you the tools that you need.
Hundreds, maybe thousands to the mills.
Could be to the mills. Could be to the mills. But you and I are definitely in that group, and kind of in a strange way, our guests today fit in that category as well. We have a very unique father-son team here today. We have David and Ethan here to tell us their story, and we couldn't be more pleased to have you guys here with us today. Thank you,
Wes,
so much.
This is the coolest. Yep. Dave and Ethan, welcome to the show. It's like a little like...
It's such...
That's our live studio audience.
Yeah.
It's such a privilege to be here. You guys are just the best. Listening to the podcast every week is... It's my favorite thing about Wednesdays.
Oh, let's go!
There's a lot to like about Wednesdays, too.
Yeah, lately it's been kind of like Wednesday nights, which I apologize. But that's when we've been getting the podcast out. Is that still okay, Ethan? Wednesday night?
Yeah,
yeah. Wednesday night. We wait all day for it.
Yeah. Is that like... Does that add to the... Like the... Yeah, like the juice, like the tension. Yeah. But Dave as well, welcome.
Well, thank you. We are on the edge of our seats every Wednesday waiting for the podcast to be released. Morning or evening, it's okay. We will take it whenever it comes.
Good deal.
And before anything else, we're Ethan and I are honored to be here. Grateful for the invitation. And... Before we go any further, I have to give a little bit of praise, actually a lot of praise, to Wes and Spenny. We enjoy this podcast very much. In fact, your podcast is in part responsible for Ethan becoming a participant in the Sons of Helaman program. And you two take... In my opinion, my feeling is you've taken a bold step to talk about something that is not easy to talk about. You bring it into the light. You do it in a manner that I think inspires others to seek action. And so I really give a big thank you to the two of you. And Cody and your sponsors and whoever else is responsible to allow you to do this. Oh. We love it.
Oh, Dave, that means everything to us.
Well,
and that's the coolest thing.
So this is kind of a long time coming. Dave and Ethan and I and Spencer and I, we've been exchanging emails for a few months now. And when I think after season two, we were so bad at responding to emails.
Oh man,
we had well anyway. The important thing is you're here today, but that means a whole lot. Thank you so you're much for letting letting us into your home and into your airwaves, and hopefully we haven't offended or annoyed too bad. So.
No, but that's honestly, that's why we do this. That's why you're here, right? Is we're all here to just help each other, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's at the end of the day, if anyone of you is listening to this and it's helping you in your recovery, then we're winning, right? We're changing the dialogue. It's happening. Momentum is taking place.
Well, and Spence, the longer we do this and the more people that we meet, the more I realize like recovery is not like sustained. True recovery is not possible without recruitment of sorts. And you guys have noticed that, like, as you've started to make, changes in your lives, You can't sustain your success without helping people around you.
Ooh, I think Tyler, going back to
Tyler talked
about that. He said he talked to his bishop. Not saying that everyone has to do this, but I thought it was so cool. He said, "Hey Bishop, if anyone in the last year or two has come to you and talked to you about pornography, and you feel the need, you can share with them my name, and then I'd be happy to talk to him to help him out in any way." And that same Sunday, I believe that he contacted two gentlemen from his ward, and they all went to group together.
Took them to Metamorona. Yeah,
so cool.
Super cool.
So you're absolutely right. There's like this. There's this very special feeling of being part of an army that's battling something, like you said, Dave, that is not talked about. Right? It is scary. It's with good reason. Right?
Well, unfortunately, there's, like you've talked about before, there's a lot of shame associated with it. And I think that's where Satanás, if we're speaking in Portuguese,
that's right,
wants us to stay. In the dark, in the shadows, where it's not talked about, it will stay, it will fester, it will get worse.
Oh, man.
So what you're doing, what we're doing here, brings it to the light, brings it out of the dimly lit Kwanzaa huts.
Well said. So, oh, did you have anything to add with that?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to share a scripture on the topic of fighting as an army. I just wanted to share Leviticus 26, verses 7 through 8. You're
throwing it back to the Old Testament.
Yeah. And that says, "And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword." Yeah. So, like, I was just thinking about that, because the more of us we get together, I like to think the more Satan gets afraid of us, the more he flees, the more we stop his, like, demons all over the world from influencing people.
Dude, that was sick.
I love that.
Oh, man.
God be with us. Who could be against us?
Off to a hot start here.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about you guys, just your family dynamic and what you're about, you know?
Yeah. Maybe Dave, just like family, and then where you fit in, Ethan, to the fam. I think I'd be curious.
Okay. I am Dave, as I have been introduced. And I have, altogether, we're six. I have my wonderful wife of 22 and a half years.
That is awesome, Dave.
And we have four kids to go along with our 22 years. We have a missionary serving his mission right now. I have a senior in high school. I have a sophomore, and our youngest is in sixth grade.
Very nice. All boys, or is it?
Three boys and one girl.
Is the girl the baby?
She is the sophomore.
The sophomore.
Yep. Yep. And I have been in West Jordan. Well, we've been in West Jordan for a good 15 years or so. And
is that home? Always been home, as like Salt Lake area?
Yep. Yep. I've been in Salt Lake my whole life, except for 2 years in Brazil.
Okay. Hey, Portuguese. Hey, there That's we go. What we were Dang. Talking about.
801, baby. Nice.
And your wife from Salt Lake as well?
My wife is from Idaho, actually.
Oh, very cool.
Wow.
We met in the Taylorsville Singles Ward.
What?
Maybe I should go there.
Yeah. Legendary Singles Ward.
Yeah.
It still has a stories are told.
Dave endorses. I mean, I'm there.
It worked for me.
No, that is awesome. And then Ethan, you are the senior. Is that right? You're the 18-year-old senior that Dave was talking about.
Yep. A senior in high school right now, just finishing the last stretch before graduation and the mission.
What, like 3 months? 4 months? I mean, when did you graduate? Well, in May?
Graduate the beginning of June.
Oh, nice.
Hope to leave on the mission by August or September.
What?
Wow. Ideally, okay. Yeah. I've got friends already who are getting called on missions, and it's just insane. It's so close.
Dude. So it's a fun time, man.
Dude, that's
it's like 10 years ago for us.
Yeah, for me, though, that's crazy that it happens in high school, that people get their calls in high school.
I remember.
I'm like,
we had the old kids that were getting called.
Yeah, they were getting called like the summer after high school,
or like the spring fall. Of. We had a few kids.
That's true.
And you kind of looked at them different. You're like, whoa, you're a man, or I don't know. But I think that's cool that there's like a cool maturity curve happening for the younger generation. That's super super neat. Anyway, so what are some things that you're involved with at school, Ethan?
At school. I've been involved in a lot of AP honors classes. I don't mean to brag, but I'm the.
But you're gonna go ahead and do it anyway.
Yeah. Say it, yeah. Dude. Say it.
Yeah. I've been through high school with a 4.0.
What?
A 35 on the ACT.
Someone's getting free college. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Dave, you hit the lottery with this one, man.
Wait, nice. 5?
I didn't know it went past 25. This is amazing.
Do you know, so did you miss like 4 questions or something? Like, it's like a crazy, I don't know. Do you remember what the number is to actually get a 35?
You're working for that 36, right?
Oh, no, I'm not.
You call it quits?
No. My lowest score is actually a 32, so it just evened out somehow. But anyways, I'm also involved
in...
You
got a couple 38s.
Seriously, yeah.
I'm also involved in a choir at the school.
Very cool.
I really enjoy singing in the choir, and it's just a blast. And we We have a lot of fun there.
Like the chamber choir?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. But,
so six, is it like the 16
male? That's how you
male?
Get the girls, man.
That's all where the choir happens. Guys.
Oh, it's the man. Magic.
The choir ladies are
that
cute.
And AP study hall, I think.
That's yeah. where
that's where the magic
so
happens.
You're in good shape. You're in really good
that's,
shape.
That's incredible. That's on your radar. What a resume. That's,
dude.
That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, we've got some good ones here yeah. today, Wes. These are, indeed. We are very fortunate to have you.
So let's shift gears then. I mean, thanks for kind of introducing yourselves to us a little bit. Let's talk about, you know, why we're all here. You know, the addiction, pornography, masturbation, how that really, you know, takes a hold of your lives. Ethan, I'd be interested to hear from you first, and then David, we'll ask you a couple follow-up questions. Where did this all stem from for you?
Well, in the beginning, I think it was just curiosity as a child. Like, you know, after I had the talk with my parents around fifth grade, I was curious about a lot of it. And sixth grade, I remember my very first exposure was I was just on the computer playing a computer game, and I just felt a temptation. I was like, you should go, or Satan was telling me, you should go look up some pictures. And I was thinking, oh, I don't know, I guess I'll try. because Satan can be very persuasive, especially the first time.
Yeah.
And I looked up some pictures that would be considered soft porn. And my mom, she could obviously tell something was up because mothers have eyes in the back of their head.
Seriously.
And she went back and she checked the computer history, and my parents discovered what I had done. And I was just terrified. I was like, I can't believe this happened. And I was just so scared. Like they sat me down, had a talk. They're like, did you look up this? And I was just like, no, it was some other guy.
not know what that is.
Yeah, but I just kept maintaining, and then I was like, all right, fine, I confess, it was me. And I thought that was it. They said, we love you, and we want to help you through this. And so I thought, I didn't think it was something that was going to come up later. And they sometimes would check back with me, just to like see if it had sprung up anywhere else. And about sixth grade or seventh grade, I got an iPod because it was popular. A lot of kids had iPods, and I thought, wow, it's so cool.
Classic? Was it one of the, what was iPod, what version do you remember?
I have no idea.
You remember
was it,
that
was
stuff?
It, yeah, was it the...
No, not classic. Well, that's when we were in seventh grade.
Oh, so. Wow. What's the, what, was it a touchscreen?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it was a touchscreen.
I don't think this kid has lived without touchscreens. You remember the thumb wheel thing?
The wheel. You didn't even know what the wheel
we
was like.
We thought the wheel was it, man. That was the coolest choice. Look, you don't even need to press buttons. You just swipe around in the circle and it goes up and down.
Yeah. I'm embarrassed. I've just shown my
2006
my age.
Was it. It was amazing.
Okay. So a touchscreen iPod. I'm embarrassed. Keep going.
Yeah. And when I was in sixth, seventh grade, I thought it'd be fun to get Instagram, and just some social media. And so, on that social media, I felt that nudge of Satan again, where it was, you should try looking into this. It might be, entertaining. It'll feel good. And you know, the classic Satan lies. I started getting sucked into it, looking for what I could on my iPod or phone or whatever, just looking for like back doors, because I was just able to seek out those back doors and find them easily. And my parents would come and talk to me about it sometimes, and sometimes I'd tell them, yeah, I've struggled a little bit with this, but I know what I'm going to do, and I'm okay. You don't need to worry about me anymore. And sometimes I'd say, nope, not having any problems, when in reality I was. And I just pretend that it wasn't a big deal. Because every time I would have a relapse or lost battle, I would think, well, this is the last one. So, of course, I don't need to talk to my parents. Because if I'm clean for the rest of my life, then it's not something I need to go back and look at. But eventually my...
And how old were you when that happened? Or at what point in the progress of this was that?
This was throughout my... still 6th and 7th grade. And then I remember one day I did come out to my mom about it. I told her that I really was having struggles with this, and we needed to do something to fix it. So we got rid of Instagram, and I thought that was it. I thought I mean, like, my main access is gone, so obviously I'm good.
I've done what I've needed to do. It's over. That was my last time.
Yeah, it's just a simple solution.
Yep, it's over.
Okay, can I ask you real quick, what are you missing out on without having Instagram?
Not much. I mean...
Whoa!
No, I can definitely see it, like, it was a stress reliever. It felt stressful going on social media because I felt like I had to go look at everything. But honestly, I haven't had it ever since 7th grade, and I've very, very rarely, if ever, had regrets about that.
Dude. And what as about a byproduct?
People's stories and all the crap that you have to...
No, I love that question that Wes asks, because it's like, what are you missing out on? And I think every single individual that he's ever asked that question in group has always said, that's not much. Really that much.
That's weird. I miss out on like the 45 minutes of sleep I don't get, or right. I didn't get before, right?
Seriously, though. That's the thing. Yeah. I will say this, though, for all you listening, if you quit Instagram.
We're on Instagram.
Oh, well. We're not doing very good.
Well, it's okay. Sorry. Go on.
Anyways, I will say this. If you stop Instagram today, I promise all of you listening that you will get a 35 on the ACT. That's how it works, right?
You can take that to the bank.
Right? Because that's how it works.
It doesn't happen. It's Ethan's fault.
No, just kidding. But that's really cool, though. That's awesome. So you stop Instagram, and then what?
Yeah, and then, I mean, like I said, I thought I was good. But being the kid that I am, I still was like, well, I'm not done with this. I mean, I got rid of Instagram, but I still want to look at porn. I hadn't really, like, gone through interchange. I was like, it's gone, but I can still find other ways. And I did find other ways. Just through whatever other app or whatever crazy back door, I mean... I didn't even know how Satan led me to those, because some of them were just so backwards that I didn't even know. But Satan would lead me to them, and I would have struggles with them for a couple weeks to a couple months. And then eventually I'd crack, and I'd go talk to my parents again. I'd say, I have another back door. We need to get rid of it. And we'd put another filter on there. And this continued for a very long time. And it wasn't just the phone, actually. It was other electronic devices, too, that I had no idea. But
after, and neither did we. As parents, we didn't know either. Which, that was a tough one.
Yeah, where you think the source is eliminated, or you put enough safeguards in place, and as a parent you think, okay, we're good, right? We've dealt with it. We're good. Check the box. Yeah.
Or as a 40-plus-year-old parent, you don't think that the internet comes on
your watch,
the gaming device, your watch, or whatever. So,
there's
holy cow.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go on.
No, that's a good mix there.
But yeah, this went on for a little while. And a couple of years ago, I was like, well, I finally admitted that maybe we would need professional help. So my dad, he discovered the like Dragons and They Fight book, and he brought it to me, and my first time reading it, I was honestly I wasn't very impressed with it. I was like, well, this sounds like a lot of work, and I don't need to do that much work. I'm not like those guys.
But we talked about that on recent episodes, I think. Yeah. Was that with Josh? I can't remember which
Josh
episode.
Josh, for sure, talked about
like,
that.
I'm not that bad, right? There are others that are much worse, yeah, right? Yeah. Like, I'm not a creep.
I'm not that bad.
No, but we've all said that before.
Yeah, and I just didn't think that, like, I needed that much help, and I was like, I don't want to talk to other guys about this either. So I read the book, and I kind of disregarded it, but I always just had a copy lying around in my room because I never got rid of it. But I kept talking with my bishop, and usually the talks, I would just say, like, I'm good. Like what I said earlier, it was like, I have a plan. I don't think it's going to be a problem anymore. I've done this and this and this, when in reality, I either hadn't done those things or they weren't really effective in fighting this.
Did that feel more like a way to get people off your back than it was an actual plan? Or walk me through that, because it sounds like it was almost like a, if I tell my bishop and
you're
my parents,
appeasing people.
If I appease them, for other people, but really not you. In the back of my, I remember this, in the back of my mind, if I was honest with myself, I wasn't honest with myself, but if I think as I look back, I'm like, I didn't really want to stop. I didn't want to put in a plan or put in the work to actually, would you say that's similar or different? What was that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, at the time it was, I hadn't quite found the motivation because I didn't realize the effects it had on me. And at the time it was still like pleasurable, enjoyable. I mean, Satan wouldn't suck us into these sins if they weren't enjoyable in the moment. Like, I still thought it was, like, pleasurable. And so I did just want to get them off my back. And I did want to stop because I wanted to obey God, but I just didn't have the tools to fight Satan effectively. And
what age roundabouts would this be when you're having these talks with your bishop? Was this like 16 or what? How old were you when this was? And like Dragons Did You Fight? Do you remember kind of when that was introduced?
Like Dragons Did They Fight, I probably read when I was in 9th or 10th grade. So it was a couple years later.
Okay.
And eventually we saw a counselor, and he had a lot of good things to teach, but I didn't apply them quite as effectively. So it wasn't really helping me because I wasn't applying what I learned, and I still thought that, like, I could just white knuckle through it, and I could just get rid of all my access, and that would be the solution. That once I was able to get away from pornography for a couple weeks, then I'd be good. I just wouldn't have the problem again. But eventually I just kind of fell back into it, where I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't doing much to fight it besides trying to fight it on my own. And that's when my dad found the podcast and he shared it with me. And I was inspired. I was like, maybe this group really is what I need. And I started going to group, and a lot of things I found there really started to help me, like manpower and being accountable, and all the good stuff.
All the good stuff. Dude, that is so cool.
What you just said, Ethan, reminded me of a scripture. Old Testament.
Ooh, scripture. In Leviticus?
Yeah. I'm no 35 ACT guy, but this is...
Dude, that's
no,
so
No, it's
cool.
Not Leviticus. This is Ezekiel. That. And this is the Lord talking about gathering of Israel in the last day. And I think what you said made me think of, like... Because everything that you just laid out to me, Ethan, it's like you were living at a level 2 or 3 for years. And Satan was successfully building pride in your heart, like, you know what? I don't need that level of help. It's not that bad. I'm going to be fine. Everything else in my life is going well. I just need to cut off my source and I'll be fine. But listen to the difference here, what Ezekiel shows us. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence, getting rid of the source. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh. They may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I think that such a beautiful imagery of a heart of stone being replaced with a heart of flesh that feels, it's malleable, that has consequences, that cares more. And that's really what true recovery looks like, is all of a sudden we don't, because here's the thing, like you said, it was still pleasurable for you. Sex is going to be pleasurable your whole life. It's just the access to that and the exercise of that that needs to be in line with the will of the Lord. Otherwise, we've experienced through the addiction that you, like, there's something inside of us, our fleshy heart says that wasn't right.
Yeah.
That wasn't fulfilling.
Left feeling a little more empty, yeah. A little more wanting.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned my temple prep class that I've been going to. We talked about, like, entering the temple, and one of the things we talked about was moral cleanliness, and they said the only way to be happy and find satisfaction is through following the commandments of God. And, like, in what we were talking about, moral cleanliness, like the only way to really be satisfied in your life is to obey the law of chastity.
Ooh, I love that. Mm-hmm. One thing too, on that note of like, you mentioned this before we recorded, that you're reading Armor of God, or is that you're currently reading, or you have read?
I have read.
Nice. So something you mentioned that I loved, that kind of, it definitely relates to what Wes's scripture and your story, is this idea of trying to change, which is part of it. We got to change kind of our surroundings, change the source, eliminate some sources, eliminate some things. But at the end of the day, we've got to, how do we have a change of heart? How do we kind of let the Lord rip out that stone that's built up over years of little decisions here and there? And I'd be curious, what was that process like for you, going from kind of want to get, you know, say that I've got a plan, to now actually, no, manpower, I do it, it works. Like, what did that change or that transformation look like?
It kind of led from me saying to I want to do this because it's one of God's commandments and other people want me to do it, to saying, I want to do this because of the positive impact that fighting has on my life. It's like looking at pornography it's really going to harm my relationship and cut me off from the Spirit. And I'm going to have a lot of doors close to me when I do that. I'm still fighting to have my desires changed. I recently have had to start over the program due to recent lost battles, and it's been a journey just finding that desire and drive again. And I'm really glad that lately I've been able to find that again. And it's about going to God and saying, I'm imperfect. Please help me to change this natural impulse and desire, so that I can really be happy and find that satisfaction, that I mentioned earlier.
So, oh,
Yeah, I'm really happy that you said what you said there, Ethan, because like Ezekiel says, the Lord says, I will take your stony heart from you, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And like, it can't come from anywhere else. It has to come through a divine assistance. And all we have to do really is be humble, which is so hard.
It's so hard. Yeah. And I was adding to being humble is this, I don't know why I thought of Alma in chapter 32, right? If ye can no more than desire to believe. I remember there were points in my recovery where I was like, I don't really want to stop looking at porn, but I'd like to not want to. Like,
I want to want.
And you give away. It's interesting. A buddy of mine just recently talked about the words that it says, give way to the seed.
Mm-hmm.
So
give
cool.
Give place.
Or give place. That's mm-hmm. what it is. Sorry. Yep. Excuse me. Give way was the yield. That was my. Ooh, I get that mixed
you're
up.
Good. You're good.
Give place for the seed, right? Give it an opportunity. Like, even if you can no more than desire to not have this part of your life, let that work in you. Try going to group, listen to the podcast, you know, just doing the little things. And over time, the way you said it, it's not for anyone else, but for me, right? It's not because my dad wants me to. It's not because, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. now I want this, right?
Yeah. And speaking of like your dad,
yeah,
Dave, I want to hear your experience in all of this. When you said that, you highlighted something I've never considered before. Earlier when you just simply said, I didn't know that you could get internet from an iPod or from all these devices. I didn't know that Satan could get into my son's life through all these things. And I was starting to think, like, we're asking, it's like a toddler going up to an astrophysicist. And the toddler trying to tell the astrophysicist how to use their supercomputer in a safer, more efficient way.
Hmm.
The astrophysicist needs the help, but the toddler has, it's such a foreign concept to, I don't want to like say that Dave doesn't know how to use technology or anything like that,
no.
but he's not familiar with it. Nearly like Ethan's never known the world without the internet. You haven't.
Right.
Okay.
Whew, which is crazy. So I'd love to now, if we could go back to even those beginning moments. Oh, he's a young, what'd you say, fifth grade, 10, 11 years old?
Yeah.
Ish. What does that feel like as a dad? And what was that journey like for you?
Well, unfortunately, that was the second time with Ethan. With our older son, we had felt the atom bomb, if you will, go off in our bedroom when we thought we were perfect, near perfect parents. We thought we were doing everything adequately enough. We thought we were pretty good parents, and we never envisioned that happening to us. And so it is a very, very humbling experience to have that happen. And it does take us a moment as parents to realize that we're all human. This is not the end of the world. We can work through this. We can change. And it was a little bit trying on the family. It was at times trying on our relationship with our sons.
Yeah.
But part of being parents and trying to be an accountability partner, trying to be helpful and supportive, we definitely had to change our mindset a little bit. We had to focus on having a good relationship with each of our kids, with Ethan, with our oldest son. We definitely need to not focus on the problem, but focus on strengthening each other.
Ooh, and I can just, a theme throughout Ethan, you telling the story, is hearing how you were able to go back to your parents, even though that was hard. But that, Dave, is points out to me of how good of parents you are. Because it could be a, oh man, what are my parents going to do, right? What are they going to say? And I'm sure you weren't perfect through all of that. No one is. It's so hard. But just the fact, Ethan, that you could go back to them and say, hey, I'm still struggling with this, is huge. Just the amount of trust and amount of vulnerability that that takes. What was it like as a parent, maybe thinking, okay, we've got this, we've got it nipped, like we've done what we needed to, but then to have them come back and say, hey, I'm actually still struggling? Or what was that feeling like?
That's very tough. It's very tough because you start to think you're gaining momentum, and as a parent, Ethan and I try to, you know, we try to talk about this at least briefly each day. And I remember, you know, before we got to the point of talking daily, when we were talking maybe periodically, we would think, at least I would think, well, if he's not coming to talk to me about it, he seems to be doing okay, we must be in a good place, I'm not going to bother him about it. I'm not going to bring it up. I want to let sleeping lions lie. What is that? How does that go?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to wake the beast if I don't have to.
Well, it's uncomfortable, right? I mean, you don't. It's a heavy conversation.
It is, but also, we have to realize at least one thing that I have learned is, I think one of Satan's tools, among the many in his shed, is complacency. Ooh. And getting us into a place where we think we're really doing okay, and we can sort of coast, whether we're fighting the addiction or whether we are parents trying to coach our kids to stay away from that addiction. Sometimes as a parent, I wanted to coast. I liked coasting because I felt like it meant things were going okay. Ooh. And it wasn't always that way.
And you mentioned before we recorded, what role was there, any part of that where you're, oh, he hasn't come to me. I don't even know how to bring this question
back
up.
No news is good news, right?
Yeah. But it also, you mentioned kind of this parent shame as well. Did that play into it all of like, oh man, if he's still got a problem with that, that's my problem too, or I can't figure this out, or what's wrong with me as a parent? Because other parents don't seem to be having this. Where did parent shame play into that whole experience?
It did. Yes. it did come into play. It's, you know, very, very, very much so. Because, you know, as a parent, there's a great burden on the parent. We read about it in the scriptures. We have a pretty serious responsibility to teach our kids the right way, what they should do. And when things aren't working, and this may be another one of Satan's tools, but I want to blame myself. I want to say, why wasn't I there? What could I have said? Why didn't I notice he was at a level 2 or a level 3 or a level 1? Why can't I notice that? Why didn't I notice that? And, you know, sometimes, I mean, just another lesson we need to learn over and over again, and that is to, you know, when you do feel a prompting, to act immediately, not to wait for the next best time to talk about the talk we don't want to have.
A convenient time to do it.
Well, when is it the right time to talk about it, Dave? Like, when does the right time come up?
The right time is immediately after you receive that prompting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the best time. Convenient, right?
Isn't that what's interesting?
When we wait for timing to be perfect,
it's not going to happen.
You're going to be waiting for a minute.
Seriously, though.
Forever.
Right? Because it's never...
Not going to be easy.
There's never going to be like a comfortable, hey, let's talk about porn moment, right? Like, you know what I mean? It's never going to be an easy conversation, right? So I love that. I love that answer. Whenever you feel it, just bring it up. Have you found, I'd be curious to hear from your accountability perspective, maybe shifting gears into that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I would be curious, has there been a method that you guys have found that's worked to keep open communication without, you know, feeling like you're always, I don't know, like talking about it?
You got, this is my favorite. David and Ethan have brought in this sheet of like the 20 points that like
they've learned
or things like that. And yeah, we want to hear like, what are the tricks and tools you guys have employed to, one, build your relationship together, but also beat up on Satan in this fight?
Yeah.
Well, one thing I've especially learned, I mean, it took me a very long time to learn this, but it is to just like be accountable immediately. And honestly, like if I have a lost battle, and this is how it was for a lot of years, if I had a lost battle, I'd just try to keep track in my head. I wouldn't tell anybody about it. I'd be like, well, I don't need to tell my dad about it. Or if they'd come to me, I'd lie and I'd say, no, I've been doing just fine when I wasn't. And the important thing is to just talk to them honestly about it and say, hey, I lost a battle today. And I think it's also important to be accountable with won battles. Like, something like that. Jade says at our group, he says to really focus on simple daily accountability. So like with the manpower journal, something we've been doing ever since I started a group was to, I have him sign off my manpower journal every day. And like, you know, that has a, did you win? Did you complete your manpower? And so my dad knows every day whether or not I won or I lost, and if I did my manpower. And so he knows every day. And if I lose a battle, I just text my dad and I text my accountability partners. I'm like, hey, this happened. Can you help me with this? And I'll text my dad a little bit what happened, and we'll talk a little bit about it that night. And we'll go through a brief battle plan of like, what am I gonna do next time? What have I learned from this? And like, just what I'll do to keep moving forward.
I love that. Real quick, Ethan, which version of Ethan do you respect more?
Definitely the honest one, where I'm not telling my parents why I'm good when I'm not, because I think that says that I'm willing to change, because I've definitely learned that if I'm not telling my parents, if I'm not admitting that I have a problem and I need help, if I'm not being accountable, then it's not going to help me change. And that probably says to God that I'm not willing to change, because I'm not reaching out for help.
You know what it says to me? It's just, it's such a man move.
Yeah, dude.
Such a manly move. So cool. Just total ownership of your mortality. That you realize, you know, this is my life. This is my life. You are never going to be 18 ever again. Ethan, today I am 10,730 days old.
Wait, that's not off the top of your head, is it?
I keep track of this every single day. I'm 10,730 days old.
10,730 days.
And I'll never be 10,720 something ever again. And like that level of accountability that you just exhibited, of you need to, every single day, ownership, that this is your gift to your Heavenly Father, that He's given you an opportunity, He's breathed life into you, and He's blessed you with a probationary state to do something with your life, to bless the human family, that He's trusting you, and you're taking that very seriously.
Dude, and I think that's where that respect comes from. Like, I'm living, I'm doing it, right? Like, oh, that's so cool. So then from accountability from dad's side, I'd like to hear from your perspective.
To answer your question, Wes, I will answer also. I like the honest Ethan better also. Sometimes being the honest Ethan is more difficult than being the coasting Ethan, or I'll talk later about this. it's sometimes harder to be honest, but I appreciate that more. I know that he's being honest, and it shows me that he's engaged if he's being brutally honest when it's brutally difficult to be honest. And I respect that. And if I could maybe elaborate a little bit on questions you've had as far as
please
what helps to keep our relationship open. That's a very challenging question, by the way, for our two nerdy introverts that are both very well. I'm antisocial. Ethan,
me too.
Ethan may be antisocial at home, but not outside of home.
I'm still antisocial outside of home.
But something that I think needs to happen, not that it's always easy, but something that needs to happen is parent and child need to find things to talk about that aren't about pornography and masturbation. Find interests together. Find a TV series to watch together. Watch a movie. Go out to dinner. Go do something that's not always talking about the elephant in the room.
Right. Oof, I love that.
Ethan, how does having just a friendship with your dad, how does that foster an opportunity? How does that foster your desire to want to be honest, Ethan?
Makes me feel like he's somebody I can open up to. Like, he's not going to be looming over me all the time, but more like I feel like it's my choice if I want to go talk to him. And I'm blessed when I make that choice. I feel like just because I have a good relationship with my dad, it means that I don't have to be scared of him. I don't have to be scared that he's going to try to shame me, because I know, especially after being through all of this, that he understands what I'm going through a lot better after me being through the Sons of Helaman program, and he knows more what it's like, and I don't have to try to hide something from him.
I love that. Here's a kind of a step back. I'd be curious if there is, you know, from all of the nuggets and all that you've already shared, some amazing stuff from both the one that's fighting it and from the support side. If there was one piece of advice that you would give to either from the warrior perspective, right? What would be that first step, or even that first little line of hope, or what would that look like? And then from a parent side, because man, there's a lot of parents out there that are hurting, that don't know what do you do, right? What's the next step, and how do I help my kid? So maybe I'll start with you, Ethan, if that's okay. It's just like maybe one thing that you would say to a warrior that's hurting right now.
I would definitely say just be honest with your parents, because and not just your parents, but all your accountability partners. You have an inside joke at group when we lie about our points to get pizza. The pizza, it's like cursed or something. It's bad pizza. So we can't lie, because we want to have that good pizza, not the bad pizza.
100%.
Yeah. And just to also just to own your fight and to take charge, not let other people do it, and be proactive in doing it. Like, it really helps when me and my dad talk, when I'm able to lead the conversation, where I'm like, this is what happened, this is why I lost, and this is what I'm going to do better. A short like level 5 and level 6, or not level 5, Q5 and Q6.
Yeah.
Or it's short loss battle analysis and
prophecy.
What happens in the future.
Yeah. Where's that next?
How's Satan going to get you next?
Jab. Yeah. From Satan. Love that. Love that. Be honest. Yeah. Dude. Killer. Dave, from a parent's perspective, What would you say to those parents out there?
Well, there's a lot to say. A lot of things I could say. So narrowing it down to one, I'll try to make it a really big, fat one.
Or even a few. A few is fine, too.
One basket of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First and foremost, I mean, we as Latter-day Saints, we want to fix things with scriptures, with prayer, and with your favorite hymn.
Right.
Or maybe a memorized scripture on top of that.
Yeah.
I think the hardest thing for me as a parent was realizing that an addiction such as this cannot be fixed with scriptures, pictures of the temple, humming a hymn, but it takes professional help.
And those are all wonderful things. They do help, but it takes more than just that. Those are wonderful things on top of everything else, though, I might add.
Agreed.
And as much as we want to fight to win those things, we also need to remember, we need to get the professional help. Whether that's Sons of Helaman, a counselor, wherever you're at, wherever you can get the help you need. And that's hard to accept as a parent, knowing that it's out of your hands. It's not something you can control and take charge of and manage on your own. It has to come from outside the home.
That's very good advice. That's hard to swallow.
That is a hard one to swallow.
Yeah, because this is your home, right? This is your family, and to kind of acknowledge that this is a challenge that isn't to no fault of your own, right? Because that's the thing. If we really take a step back, like when I talk to my mom, and she says similar things of that she takes some ownership, and that's not your fault, it's not Ethan's fault, right? It's not like this is some serious stuff in a time where it's not being talked about. And so acknowledging, hey, this might need some extra lift from people that understand what's going on in the brain.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are so incredible. And Dave, you said something that reminded me of my mom. My mom would always, when we begged her, when we were growing up, my mom would sing us a lullaby. And the words that she would sing are, "How come I'm sharing a baby with God as tender and precious as you? How come you're giving and I am receiving when I should be giving to you?" And just this beautiful humility that you've exhibited of like this joint custody with our heavenly parents, of being a steward for his babies when they come to earth, and that you have I'm thinking about my parents and everything they've done for me and what you do for Ethan and for your other children. And just the humility that's required to say, "Lord, I need..." He's always your son. But you can't help but get attached, right? And so just to see your utter faith and conviction and knowing that the Lord has a plan when you've had a plan your whole life and all of a sudden you feel left to your own devices, I think is just, it's perfect faith.
Oh, man. You guys are amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, seriously. Wes, you nailed it right on the head, brother. This has been very special. To have the dynamic of a father and son, it's such a special relationship. I think we got to ask these guys a question.
Oh, I think we must.
I think we must.
Spence, would you do the honors?
I would.
Yes?
I think we should start with you, Dave, if that's okay.
Okay.
Why do you fight, Dave? As a parent, why do you fight against Satan and pornography?
Well, I fight because, as a parent, we have a great responsibility. And it's a sacred responsibility my wife and I take seriously, and we always want to do our best, and we know it's hard to go it alone. And so I fight each day for each one of my kids. I fight because I want to have my mind open and my heart softened so that I can receive the daily revelation that I need to guide and be an example for each one of my kids. I fight so that one day I can see my kids with kids of their own, hoping that they will continue to do what they do today, which is outdoing their parents. I hope they will continue to do that.
Oh, that's so cool. Thank you, Dave. That is awesome. Keith, hit us, dog. Why do you fight? Why don't just give up?
I fight because when I fight, I have the knowledge that I can change. And this is not who I am. This is Satan trying to tell me that he's trying to fool me into thinking I'm not a son of God, but I am a beloved son of God, and my spirit desires righteousness. It's doctrine that our spirits do not desire wickedness, but while we're on earth, sometimes we lose track of who we are. So I fight to keep track of who I am and to know the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Because he just has the power to change who we are and change our desires to be able to become more like him. And when I'm not fighting, I'm gloomy and I don't feel like I can change. But when I am fighting, I know that no matter how long it takes, as long as I don't give up, I will change. And that change is not only... it's like it's not only possible, but it's inevitable.
Let's go. Yeah, that's a Wes statement right there.
No, that's an Ethan statement, man.
Bro, that's so you guys are so awesome for being here. Such a cool episode.
Do you feel that? My soul's been stirred. Man, we can't thank you guys enough.
Yeah.
The good you've done, the good you continue to do.
Yeah. Oh, man, you guys are rad.
It's marvelous.
Yeah, it just gives me, there's a lot of hope in our conversation today of warriors out there, keep fighting for that change. It's going to happen. It will. Like, it's going to happen one way or another, so we might as well make it positive, right? That change, yeah. Right? And parents, keep fighting as well, right? Don't give up on these kids. It's going to work out.
It will.
It will work out. Ethan is too special of a kid not to. It's going to work out, right? Like, you are in. Oh, you're a prodigy. Warrior. Yes, seriously.
I think he's like written a couple of symphonies while we've been sitting here.
Yeah. And, just in his brain.
Yeah.
No, seriously though. Like, From a warrior's perspective, keep fighting. From a parent's perspective, keep believing.
You are a warrior.
Yes, keep fighting. Oh, man.
You guys are amazing. And for any of you out there listening, you know, we say this a lot, but if you felt what we've been able to feel from David and Ethan, what's keeping you back?
Yeah.
You know, take the first step. Make the call. Just tell someone. Or help someone. Maybe you're you know, long on your recovery or working things out. The Lord is going to tell you some names right now are popping into your head as you're listening to this, share this with them. There are people that are being prepared in your lives to receive your help.
Yeah.
So put on your superhero cape and go to work.
Go to work.
It's time to do it.
Oh, because they're like, and that's what kept coming back is, Dave, I mean, you're not alone as a parent, man. There's so many parents out there that are just, they're hurting. Yep. Whew. Let's go help them, right? Let's go do whatever we can. And you guys have been a perfect example just coming on this podcast today. So thank you again. We love you all for listening. Gosh, I can't believe that people still listen to this. This is freaking awesome.
No, we're plugged in, right? I really hope that
this whole thing was recorded.
Okay, that'd be great. That's awesome. Cool. Guys, we love you. We want to hear from you. We'll see you next week.
Next week.